Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we rejoice with joy unspeakable, Father, for we are here in thy presence, and we know, Lord, that thou wilt feed our inner man, and we know that we will be looking into those things which are eternal, which have value, which have depth. And so, Father, we rejoice in these things and know that thy presence and have full confidence, Lord, that thou wilt be here among us. And so help us to be in tune with thee. Help us to yield ourselves to thee. And may we bless thy name and thank thee for all things as we ask this in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. For this morning's reading, let's turn to the Gospel of John and read from chapter number 10, the first 18 verses. Gospel of John, chapter 10, first 18 verses.
Brati naši, da se uz Božju pomoć čita iz Svetog Evanđelja po Jovanu, 10. glava, prvih 18 stihova. Sveto Evanđelje po Jovanu, 10. glava, prvih 18.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf eateth them, catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. May the Lord give a great, rich measure of blessing to each and every one as we open our hearts to him. So I just pray that we would all appreciate this great opportunity that we have. You know, Satan will want to destroy that which we have assembled together to do and to receive of him. But let's have our mind to be focused upon him and upon his word and to receive this blessing that we would have. I'm sure that we have a lot of things in our that are going on in our minds right now, a lot of things that we're thinking about. And my prayer is that we can just simply take all those things and put them aside and focus here now upon God's word and receive from the Lord Jesus Christ the blessing that he would like us to have. So we read here a portion of scripture about Jesus Christ himself being the chief shepherd for his sheep, those that would believe in him and those that would follow after him and would hear his voice. And so he spoke this parable to all. And as he spoke to them this parable, though they understand shepherding and sheep and the attributes that go around that, they didn't understand really his message that he had through that parable that he spoke unto them. It says, the Bible here says that as he spoke that to them, they understood not those words which he spoke to them. And so he clarifies it, and he says to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." He speaks to them saying, "Verily, verily," and when Jesus Christ speaks his word and says, "Verily, verily," or "therefore," or "behold," these are important things that he's about ready to speak. And so he's saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." This is our Lord and our Savior is he who would have the access to the sheep. And he says, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Those that came before Jesus Christ, not the prophets, not John the Baptist, but clearly he's referring to the scribes and to the Pharisees and to those who were in the religious authority at that time. He was referring to them, and he is saying they were thieves and they were robbers, but the sheep did not hear their voice. And so we think of that as being true because we see Simeon and Anna and others who were there when Jesus was born and when John the Baptist was born, that they were followers of the Lord, that they loved the Lord, that they knew the voice, the true voice of the Lord. And so there were those that were the sheep, and they did not hear those that were thieves and robbers. And so Jesus says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Jesus is giving clarity to this parable that he spoke to them. And he's saying, "By me, ye shall be saved." And I don't believe that anybody here in the room this morning has a problem or has a difficulty believing that Jesus is our Savior, that through him we can be saved. He says here, "By me, he shall be saved." Jesus is giving clarity as to what this good shepherd is and how he is the door and how he is the way. Later in this book, John records that Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We can only be saved. We can only come to the Father through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. There was a time when a multitude was fed. Jesus fed a multitude of them. As they were weary, he fed them. And then after he fed them, he was speaking to them his word. He was giving their voice, his voice, to them. He was giving unto them a message that was of spirit and of truth. And he's telling them, "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life abiding in you." And they couldn't understand the message. And so it came as a matter of course that they all turned away. They stopped following him. And so Jesus turns to his disciples and he says to them, "Will you also go away? Will you also turn away from the voice of the chief shepherd?" And Peter responds and says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Peter was persuaded that there is no other way. There is no alternative to have life and to be saved than through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ here is saying, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." We shall be saved by Jesus Christ and no other means. And so I believe again that we are all fully persuaded of that and believe these things to be true. Then here's a very important verse, and it holds a great value to me. I personally appreciate John 10:10, where it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." We have an enemy of our soul who has a threefold objective, and that is to steal, to kill, and destroy. That is the enemy of our soul. That's what he wants to do with us. He wants to steal the truth from us. He wants to see that our soul is forever in that realm of death, in hell. And he wants to destroy any good that God has done and any good that by his grace, by God's grace, that we might able to do. He wants to destroy that. That's what the thief does. And we're familiar with that. We see that over and over. We see the goodness of the Lord and we see Satan trying to destroy that goodness of the Lord. And we know that he has no good intentions. Sometimes he comes with subtlety, as he came to Eve, and sometimes he comes very violently through wars and different means as such to kill. but Jesus Christ is come that we might have life. That's the reason, that's the primary reason why Jesus Christ came here on earth. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ came here upon this earth that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. This is what Jesus Christ desires for us. And this is why he came here upon this earth, that we might have life and that more abundantly, that we might know joy, that we might know peace in its fullness, not as the world can give. Jesus Christ gives us peace. We have joy in him because he saved us from a certain damnation. We have comfort in him. We have a hope of salvation that the world does not have. We have all these things. We have an abundant life through Jesus Christ because of the things that he has done for us. And so we worship him and we give him thanks and we give him praise. And we count it a great privilege to be here together, as assembled together, to hear these words, that we might have this life and that more abundantly in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ further says, I am the door. And now he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. That's what Jesus Christ came here upon this earth to, as that great shepherd, give his life for us, his sheep. For us that would be followers in his way. For us who would hear the voice of Jesus and follow him and keep his commandments. I don't believe it's possible for us to fully understand the depth of what Jesus Christ came here upon this earth to do, as in terms of his love and his sacrifice for each and every one of us, that we might have life. He is that good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. And we rejoice in that which he has done for us. Next two verses speak of a hireling, how they are not the shepherd, and they do not own the sheep. And when they see the wolf coming, they leave the sheep, and they flee. And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. Again, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. And this is what the wolf here is coming to do. And a hireling will not save the sheep because those sheep are not his. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. And that was evident as we read in the Gospels of the Pharisees and the scribes. They didn't care for souls as they should have, as the Lord did. And then he says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. There is that relationship. He's saying, I'm the good shepherd. Again, he's revealing to them, I'm that good shepherd. I'm that good shepherd. I know mine. I know my sheep. And they know me. We have that relationship. We know each other. And so we think of God in his great in his greatness in every way. That he knows the numbers of the stars, and he calls them all by their names. This is what God does. He, in that great macro level, he created all the number, he created all the stars, he knows their number, and he calls them all by their names. And then on the micro level, he knows how many hairs are upon our head. God knows us. He knows us. And he calls us by our name. And so as he knows us, then we know him. We love him because he first loved us. And we know him, and we know the love that he has for us, and we feel his care and his tenderness that we have for us. So one thing is very clear in this parable is the greatness of God, the greatness of our Lord and the things that he has done for us. We see that it took the chief shepherd to come here upon this earth, take upon himself flesh and blood, be that supreme sacrifice, and in his great love died there upon the cross that we might have salvation, that we might be cleansed of our sin. This is what he has done for us. And then we also see clearly in this parable just how vulnerable we are, just how little value, but our abilities are so small as sheep. We see his greatness and we see our vulnerability in this parable. And yet he knows us and he calls us by our name. Further, he says here, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Clearly, this is in reference to the Gentiles being called and being a part of the flock of Jesus Christ. And so he's calling us, and his voice is being made manifest to us as well. Jesus Christ, earlier in this gospel, says, "Verily, verily," again, very important pretext to what he's about ready to say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." They that hear shall live. Those that obey the word of God shall live. Those that hear the word of the chief shepherd, they shall live. And we will be his. And so it matters not that whether we are Jew or Gentile. The Bible says that there is neither Jew nor Gentile, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are part of his flock. And just as Jesus was explaining to the Sadducees who didn't believe that there was a resurrection, that in the resurrection there's not going to be marriage, but we are all one in Christ. And so we rejoice in this that Jesus Christ has done. And so he's saying here that we will all hear his voice, and there will be one fold and one shepherd. And we rejoice in that. Further in this chapter, we read that Jesus Christ says to the people here, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep, the sheep of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. He says, "I know them." Just as we read earlier, how he said that earlier too, that "I know them." I know them. Jesus knows us through and through. Our Lord knows us, and there's nothing that we can hide from him. He knows us. And it says, "And they follow me." They follow me. They know my voice. They know my voice, and they follow me. I watched a demonstration of how three different people were calling out to sheep in a field. They each used a different method, and they were calling to the sheep. And the sheep completely ignored these three people and their different means of calling them. Then the farmer of the sheep came, and he called them. And it was clear that the sheep heard the voice of the farmer, and they came running to him. It was quite a sight to behold. Likewise here, Jesus is saying in the same manner, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I call them by their name, and they follow me." They follow me. So let's consider, what does the voice of Jesus Christ say? What does Jesus say that we might be listening to, that we can be accounted as his sheep? What does he say to us? And do we hear this? We have to recognize that if we are to be his sheep, then we have to do what Christ says and do it his way, to be Christians. To be a part of the sheepfold is really to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so for us to have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we have to follow Jesus' teaching his way, not our way. We don't follow our voice. We follow the voice of Jesus Christ, and we follow in his way. So what is it that Jesus Christ says that we would be following in his way? Well, he began his ministry by saying, "Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your sinful, wicked ways. Stop following after sin and follow the voice of Jesus Christ. Have a change of mind about God and who he is." And so we need to repent and follow in his way. Another thing that Jesus Christ says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." First, we have to follow Jesus Christ before we can be fishers of men. Before we can point others to Christ, we have to follow Christ ourselves. We have to follow him. And so this is the voice of Jesus Christ. This is his commandments. This is what he's telling us to do, that we might have our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. that we might be a part of his sheepfold. He says, follow me. Follow me. Our obligation is to know the Lord and to follow in his ways, and then we can point them to Christ as well. Jesus Christ says, told the Pharisees that you can pass land and sea to make one proselyte, which is a convert, and you make them twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Why? Because they didn't follow the Lord. They didn't follow the Lord. If they weren't following the Lord, they weren't able to proselyze and bring them to Christ and bring them to the Lord. So we need to be followers of him before we can bring others to Christ. The voice of Jesus Christ says, therefore, again, very important message that he has when he says, therefore, this is the summation, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is the message of Jesus Christ. This is what the chief shepherd is telling us. This is his voice. Do we hear his voice? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We all want love, grace, mercy, forgiveness, compassion, kindness. Show that. Show that. This is what we are being called to as his sheep. To show love, to show kindness, to show grace, to show mercy. And so this is what he's calling us to. The voice of Jesus Christ says, enter in at the straight gate. Enter in at the straight gate. It's the narrow way that leads to eternal life. So this is the voice of Jesus saying, enter at the straight gate. We can't come in through the gate with all the baggage of life that we want to hold on to. We can't fit through a straight gate. We can't fit through that narrow way. And so it will need to be that we follow in that narrow pathway that Jesus Christ has called us to, that we might have life and that we might be followers of his. So this is practicality. This is how we are following the voice of Jesus Christ. This is how we live out what he would have us to live. Further, Jesus Christ says, behold. Again, very important. And he's saying, Take note of this. I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. We are his sheep. We are his sheep. And we are in the midst of wolves. We are surrounded by foes who have no appreciation for who Jesus Christ is, would never claim him to be the chief shepherd. And we are in the midst of wolves. We are among those who want to kill, steal, and destroy. And so he's saying, and again, sheep in the midst of wolves, it seems like there would be no chance for that sheep. Sheep are non-aggressors. And so this is a precarious environment to be in. And so he says, be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And so the voice of Jesus Christ is telling us, be wise. You're in the midst of foes. You're in the midst of wolves. You are in an environment where there is one who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Be wise. Be wise. There's messaging in this world that we are to be wise to. But then we are to be harmless as well. Harmless as well. We were taught last Sunday from Jesus Christ about how we should treat those who despitefully use us and who persecute us. We are to love them. We are to bless them. We are to do good unto them. And we are to pray for them. We are to be harmless. Harmless. This is what the voice of Jesus Christ is calling us to. That we might be a part of his sheep. That we would be harmless. Not aggressors. Harmless. But yet wise. This is the voice of Jesus. Jesus also tells us to watch and pray. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are to watch and pray while we are in this environment where we are surrounded by wolves, by our foes, and by the evil one who wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. We are to watch and pray. We are to meditate upon his word, and we are to be in prayer that we would not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing to watch and pray, but the flesh is weak, and we need to acknowledge that. A lot of times we want to go through the battle without first taking the time to pray. To pray and to recognize God's wisdom in all of this and to be wise about it. And so we are to watch and pray. And this is what the voice of Jesus Christ is calling us to. The voice of Jesus Christ has another message for us. We are to follow in his commandments. And again, we have to view these things and understand these things in the context of we have to do Christ's words, Christ's way, so that we can be his sheep. Not listening to other voices, not going back to our own reasoning, but to hear his voice and to follow in his way that we might be his sheep. Jesus Christ says, the Bible here says it, he says it to all. So everyone that was there, if any man will come after me, be a follower of Jesus, be a Christian, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Deny ourselves. We have to enter in through that straight gate. We have to stay on that narrow way. There is not room for other things in our life. But we are to deny ourselves. Deny ourselves and then take up our cross daily. Knowing that, again, we are in the midst of foes. We are in an environment that's hostile towards those who believe in Jesus Christ. But yet we need to take up our cross daily and not give in and not give up, and we follow him. His way led to the cross, but we are to be followers of him. Yet one more verse that I'd like to go through of the voice of Jesus and what his commandments would teach us, that we would learn of practicality, how we might be his sheep and having our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus Christ says, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. This is the voice of Jesus Christ. We live, as I'm saying often, we live in a very materialistic lifestyle, a culture. The lifestyles of materialism is everywhere. Brands, how good something is, what size it is. All these things that the world holds of value. Jesus Christ says, enter into the straight gate. Follow me. Stay on that narrow way. Deny yourselves. Take up your cross and follow me. Jesus Christ says these things to us. And the world's message is very much different, and it's loud. But Jesus Christ says, beware of covetousness. Be aware of that. The Bible says that covetousness is as idolatry. It's that sin of idolatry. Looking to other things other than Jesus Christ. Our life doesn't consist of the abundance of the things which we possess. We will not be rewarded for what we have accumulated in this life. There will be no reward for the abundance of accumulations we have. We will be rewarded by how much we gave, by how much we shared, by how much we gave unto others. That's what we will be measured by. The voice of Jesus Christ, he calls us, and he wants us to be his. He says, I know them. I know my sheep. I know them, and they know me, and they follow me. And so we have this blessing to be a part of the sheepfold of Jesus Christ, him being our chief shepherd. And he wants us. He wants us to be a part of his sheepfold. And he invites us. John the Apostle wrote in Revelation that the words of Jesus Christ says, where Jesus Christ said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will sup with him and will come in unto him, and he with me." This is what Jesus Christ wants. He wants us to be followers of his, and to give unto us this abundant life that we can have in him, a joy and a peace and a hope that this world cannot give. And so my prayer is that we would all come to hear the voice of Jesus Christ and keep his commandments as he leads us all the way home.